Who loves you? Remember me, I'm the one. Remember that song? Remember me, I'm the one. Who loves you? Remember me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the one who loves you. Remember me. Actually, you know who showed me that song?
Who was it?
You would never guess. So that round dance song, you would never guess who showed it to me.
Okay. I can't guess.
John's the Farm.
Okay. Yeah, it's I wouldn't have guessed.
You like would have won Tonka.
This was my first thought.
No.
Yeah.
Now if it's a 49, then I would say Tonka probably.
Yeah, man. Can you hear this? Mm-hmm. Hold on a second.
I'm the one.
All right. Can you hear this? No, I forgot to share the sound. God, rookie.
What a loser.
Let's see. Share screen. You gotta click on share sound. It's pretty easy. You just gotta do it. Ooh, I didn't know you could click on mono or high fidelity. I'm gonna do the high fidelity. Let's try it out. Now you can hear that, yeah? Let's see. Not this one. Here's a round dance for you. That looks being recorded underwater. Tune there.
That's a bad tune, man.
It is.
Play it again.
All right,
let's play it again.
Okay. Let me locate it. Wait. 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 At the beginning. Oh! Okay, here it is. Here it comes.
Hey!
Oh, you're feeling it, man. Feeling it. Oh, yeah, it's got the eyes closed. Not tight, though. They're kind of flickering a bit, you know. You know that look. Yep.
That's a cool tune too.
It is.
That's a cool sound, man. That song.
Yeah.
That actually, like, I don't know where you got it, but that sounds like round dance songs that I want to sing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've always wanted to make tunes like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Never smooth. Could. Never could, but that kind of it's repetitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's smooth, you know, and it's like.
Yeah.
You got your hand drums are sounding bouncy.
Oh, yeah.
Your strum is sounding crack. It's got a crack to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That little crack. That sounds good.
And then you got 6 to 7 guys, you know, maybe 8 dudes that,
yeah,
can sing and blend good.
Oh, yeah.
And you start humming that tune. It's cold outside, and you just start humming it. And then the guy next to you is like, oh, yeah. He kind of starts humming it, and pretty soon 4 of you are humming it. And then the impatient singer, which is me, usually goes, sing it, start it. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't learn it, doesn't bother to, like, learn it. It's like, just start it.
Yeah.
But – yeah, when that song was playing, I could picture a fairly cold building, yeah, not a round dance, but like singing guys, like the boys got together.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's snow on the ground, but it's like that muddy kind of snow. It's not pretty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Keep going. This is quite poetic, you know.
Well, it conjured up quite a bit for me.
Oh, conjured you. You're getting really poetic. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to write this down in my book of poems by Aaron.
So,
a cold building. Say it in poetry voice. Let's get the mood. Wait. Okay. Do it. Poetry voice.
The sounds of a smooth round dance song fills the air in a cold, wintry building on any given Native community in the north. The Rocky Mountain region.
This sound like a pamphlet.
Yeah, I don't know how to be poetic.
Come on, man. It turned into a pamphlet.
I'm just saying, okay, this is what I would say.
Okay.
That round dance tunes like that, those kind of
yeah.
I wouldn't even say they're like traditional round dance songs, but they're almost, they remind me of nighttime.
Yeah.
A song like that reminds me of nighttime. It reminds me of quasi-traditional people.
Quasi.
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like
just,
people on the fringes who just like to sing tunes. And
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that, man.
No.
You got the guy who shows up with... One guy shows up with a hand drum and a pillowcase. Yeah. One guy shows up with a hand drum in the rope bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then one guy shows up with 4 hand drums and a made Pendleton
bag. Pro level.
Yeah. And then you have seven hand drums, but you only have five sticks. So you always got that one guy that can make a stick real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Take his sock off.
And I kind of like that sound of hand drums that is a little more pingy and less cardboardy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've always kind of liked that tune. And so
you're talking like the Remo drum sound.
Well, but more natural. Yeah. Remo to me is like oh my God, it's too much, you know?
Yeah.
You get five Remos, you can't even hear the song, you know? It's too much, a bit man.
Celtic.
I remember the first time I've seen Remo drums. When was the first time you saw Remo drums?
Oh man, I don't remember the specific date, but it must have been in maybe early 90s, maybe mid 90s.
Really? You saw them that long ago, huh?
I think so.
Remo maybe hand drums?
Maybe I'm confusing the era.
So
No. Yeah, I'm an era off. I mean, 2000, the 2000s.
The early 2000s.
Yeah.
So that's about when I seen them. Yeah. And I remember it was Gabby Carell. You remember Gabby Carell?
Yeah, I think that's who I've seen.
That's the first person the Remo. And it was, he had like a bag of them.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. They sound good. But as I get older...
Yeah,
I don't know if I like their sound, you know?
The Remos are... I don't know. It's
You make a pretty mean hand drum.
Well, yeah, I've been out of the game for a decade, but it was just the era of mine, you know?
But I like the way you tied the drum, though.
Oh, yeah, you pump out a few and then call it good.
Yeah. But I had that horsehide one.
Oh, yeah.
That you made. Man, that was a dope-sounding drum.
Yeah. I still have that. I still have... that hide enough to make probably one more drum. I've been holding on to it. So I had to do that.
You know, and I used to hear these old guys say the best sounding hand drums were horse hide. And I would have to agree, man. I would have to agree.
Well,
I gave that drum away.
You did.
Yeah. A relative of mine was celebrating his 5 years of sobriety.
Oh yeah.
And during his sobriety, he had taught himself how to sing.
Really?
And he actually is a pretty good singer. And we were singing together one day, and he said, hey, man, today is 5 years. He just happened to say it. And so when we got done singing, I had that drum, and I said, well, here, man, I'll give you my favorite drum. This is the best drum I ever had.
Yeah.
But
that's the way you got to do it, though, man.
Got to do it, man.
Gotta do it.
The moment called for it, and who am I to deny the moment? You know,
that's right. You gotta just.
I don't think I ever told anybody that. Now
I never heard it.
Now 42 people know it,
and I even forgot that I made that horsehide drum. I made that for you. You bought it for me, yeah?
Yeah, for $60.
Yeah, and I think I even. I think you may have. Did you request it, or did I tell you I have a horsehide?
No, you told me you had a horsehide.
Okay.
And I think I even said, oh, them old guys used to tell me.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll get one from you. And then you kind of like were like, oh yeah, you know. And yeah. I probably didn't think you were actually gonna make it.
You had to cough up $60. That's but cheap. $60. Are you sure you don't owe me another 20?
I bought two drums from you for that price.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I bought that first one, which I gave to my son.
Yeah.
And then I still have it though. It's here.
Yeah.
And so I had a problem too with people stealing my drums. I had a hand drum stolen from me.
Yeah.
And so I started painting the rim of my drums blue.
Oh, that's why you did that. I was wondering. Thought it was some spiritual reason.
Well, actually, kind of. So there is kind of a thing. This guy had a dream about me that I took my hand drum and I put it in ice.
Hmm.
And he in his dream, he said, why are you doing that? And I told him something about to protect my singing or my songs or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he said that drum was blue.
Hmm.
And I think if I remember correctly, he told me the whole drum was blue. But so then this is all happening around the same time as going to these little round dances and
you
put all your drums on the table and they get some walk away. So I said, well, I'm going to do that. It was never confirmed as like a thing to do or authorized, but I did it. You know, maybe I shouldn't have. I don't know.
you didn't get a certificate. You didn't get approval.
I didn't get approval.
You didn't get IRB approval to.
But I never lost the drum again.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, you know, this song. Well, okay. I've been uploading these audio tapes.
As you made. Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some gold on there.
There is. I got a whole stack here I'm still going through. But this one was sort of a mystery. Some of them are labeled, you know, so you know exactly, you know, it's Kiayo or Crowfair or whatever. This one was just labeled Bear Child, and it said Round Dance, and that was it. So I didn't quite know. I did some little bit of searching around to figure out maybe who this Bear Child might have been. Come to find out, I get a response back from guy and I by the name of Crit. You know Crit? Do you know that name?
I don't know, but that sound, the sound of the song, kind of was thinking like Saskatchewan, man.
Well, that's kind of what I thought too. But here it turns out Crit, I know him because he was
Crit.
He was a friend with my dad. And when he was singing around with us a bit when Stan was living in Missoula, we kind of got a little practice sessions going on a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, he messaged and said, "Oh yeah." In short, he said Bearchild was this group that they put together for the Kiayo Indian Club. They called themselves Bearchild. I didn't ask him why Bearchild or nothing, but like that.
Kiayo.
But yeah, Kiayo Indian Club. So he sends me this picture of the Bearchild singers, and it was in 1979. And it included Troy Bullbear, Ron Ledoux, Mike Madman, Sean Chippewa, Crit Held, that's the guy that I know, and Rod Broad. I know the last two just from my dad hanging out with those guys.
Crit. You know? Man, I swear I know Crit.
Yeah, you probably...
Well, I was singing around with you guys a little bit back with when Stanley.
Yeah,
we're talking about Stanley Pretty Paint.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought that was kind of neat to finally connect the dots on one of these tapes, you know.
Well, man, they sounded good.
Yeah,
that's the best student group I've ever heard.
Oh man, yeah, and the rest of the tapes, they got some good tunes. They're singing some good songs on there. Yeah, so if you go to YouTube, check it out. It's in the list. Bearchild singers, you'll see exactly what I read you. Yeah. It's a good one, man. It's
Killer
good
round one. Dance tune. That was a good, smooth song. I wish more songs were made that way.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they are. I'm sure you got to go up north to hear round dance songs like that, or owl dance tunes.
Oh, yeah, but, the good ones. The good ones.
Young Scouts. They kind of make Mark Long John and them guys. And I never really knew them. I met Mark Long John once, but man, that sound. I love that song, that song composing sound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I also figured out all these other songs in our previous episodes, those songs I've been playing, you know, we've been trying to figure out. I finally made a connection to where those are from. I haven't got the full details, but I reached out to some folks and sent them, you know, to listen to it. So I got the details on that, which is pretty good.
But, awesome, man.
But we're not here to talk about that, are we?
We're not here to talk about songs.
No, we are.
You know what's funny is the people that have talked to me about our podcast. That's that's one of the things is they say, like, you guys should talk about music more. Yeah. And they actually have said, play the songs longer.
Oh, really? I was wondering. I thought I was playing them too long at certain points. I thought, wow, people may get bored of this. I don't know. I can extend it out. Let them get bored.
I mean,
right. I can put a longer clip at the middle.
What's the difference? What's the difference between 30 seconds and 45 seconds? You know,
not much. Yeah, not much.
Like if it's a song that has starts in it, play two starts.
I can do that.
Cause I feel like that's enough for people to learn the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they want to learn a song, if it's appropriate. Yeah. I don't feel like we're playing songs that are inappropriate. We're not doing that. So
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Music to me is always a fun topic because for one, I don't ever claim to be an expert at Indian music, but I'm a fan of it, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people who do research on native people is often overlooked.
It is. It is. It is. I was reading this and I just come across it just maybe hours ago. I don't know how or why, but it's this it's an article written by some dude by the name of Todd Swanson, but it's in this sort of this off journal called the Journal of Religious Ethics.
Ooh.
And it sort of caught my eye because it says the weathered character, and it says envy in response to the seasons in Native American traditions. I don't know. It caught my eye a bit, but I started reading it and it said something in here that I thought that was pretty cool about specifically about singing. And if I could find it here, I'll read it to you. It's a good one, man. I mean, I don't know if it's good. It seemed to be telling. But anyway, So what this guy does is he's trying to figure out something about the, I don't know, how Indians think, you know, in relation to non-Indians. You know, why don't they think alike? So he takes these writings by these indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, one from Colombia, from the highlands of Colombia. You know those people? I can't remember how to pronounce the name of their people, but you know, they live up in high in the mountains. But this guy was saying that the goal of the moral life, according to this guy, is to develop a character whose sense of timing responds perfectly to the temporal movements of the forest. And this gets to singing here, but that's his first thing. So this guy was, you know, he's not an educated dude. You know, nobody in that time was, you know, they didn't go to school. He just lives like a traditional person. And then, so when he's talking about these things, that's what he says. He said, okay, yeah, moral life to develop a great character. The character responds to perfectly to the environment, essentially is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So then he relates bad timing, like bad timing. So like out of sync with the environment, as that is related to envy and gluttony. So essentially he's saying you're doing something in a space and in a time that belonged to someone else. That's what gluttony is. And that's what he thought envy was, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Then the singing part, let me see here. Where is this at? Yeah, he says, I don't know, I can't find it fast enough, but I'll find it here. Let's see, where does he say it? I don't know. Where is it at? Oh, yeah, okay. So he's talking about some other person. Someone from, what do they call him now? They used to be called, or they used to call themselves, or somebody used to call them Papago. You know that tribe? Papago. I think that's how you say it. I'm probably...
Where at?
In the southwest. Oh, Tona...
Dona Odoms?
Yeah. So a lady from there, he also talks about...
You butchered that.
I did. I'm sorry. I'm just not regional, all right? My non-regional diction is not very good. Anyway, let's see. What does it say? I can't find this, man. I don't know where it's at. What was he going to say anyway? I totally cut you off.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, keep going.
But it's too late now.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. So this related to what I said. So on the surface, he says, the singing and dancing in the face of, what's this word, finitude, which is like a boundary, you know, in the face of some boundary, seems to have something in common with the existential ethics of courage. I don't know. This isn't the one I was looking for.
You're in the weeds now.
I'm way in the weeds, man. I'm way in the weeds. Bring me back. Yeah. Bring me back. I'm way in the weeds.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to get out of this. Because here's the problem is I'm interested in what.
Yeah.
And so
maybe
you just edit this whole part out.
Yeah. I didn't come prepared. Okay. Wait. I think I found it. Let's see. The choir, moral life. I don't know. But this is what I do know. Kind of what he said, what he summarizes and what you're saying is that exactly what you just said, he's saying essentially non-natives, especially researchers, anthropologists, underestimate what's expressed in song. That's essentially what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's saying what just seems like a practice or a fulfillment of a custom is actually the expression of morality whenever somebody is singing. That's kind of what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's somewhat true, but I think like what you were saying, there's certain levels of that. Like you talk about this, just a bunch of dudes getting together and, you know, ha-ha around, sing some tunes. There's sort of a demeanor or sort of an essence that comes out of that versus a bunch of dudes getting ready to sing for a contest to win a lot of money. There's two different sort of demeanors there, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole other demeanor if you're singing and it's not just a male thing, but there's like women involved. Then you got a whole other demeanor, like a way of acting. Then there's a whole other demeanor when you're the one, maybe you're singing solo, like it's just you for some reason. You got another demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think each of those, like this guy saying, sort of is a representative of some sort of morality of of that situation, which is not, I don't know, it's not, I don't know, it's nothing groundbreaking. Like native folks know that, I guess, in a way, but do we? I don't know. Because we just do it. We don't think about it. We do it because something compels us to do those things. Go. Do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know where we're going with any of this, but as far as song, I do agree there's levels to singing. I agree there's levels to demeanor and reverence.
Yeah.
I also feel like there's another caveat to that, which is in some cases song accompanies something.
Yes.
And in some cases song is the something.
Yeah.
So for example, Jingle Dress Sidestep song accompanies a dance.
Right. Agreed.
But amongst the Ojibwe and their ceremony of the medicine dress,
yes,
those songs hold a higher purpose outside of just accompanying the dance. They themselves are part of the power, I guess you could say.
Right.
And so, like, here's a thought for those that listen to us who has ever been in this situation. This is relatable. For those of you who don't know, I mean, it'll be tough. But
okay. Here we go.
Most singers have been asked to render an honest honor song.
Yeah.
At a non-powwow or non-dance, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Graduation, an inauguration.
Yeah. A retirement.
Can you guys sing us an honor song?
So then you go up there. Yeah.
And then you start singing, and then everyone stares at you.
Yeah.
Oh, the singer. So then it begs the question of when an honor song is accompanying something of honor.
Yeah.
Who the hell are they supposed to stare at? So one time I got asked to sing for a graduation.
Yeah. You told this story before.
Solo, and I stood behind them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because then I thought, my job isn't, I'm not the thing.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, don't look at me.
Yeah, so then the song... At that point, the song's not even accompanying anything, or it's not even the thing. And in that case, it shouldn't be the thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in that situation where you're like, can you sing an honor song? And then have you ever questioned it and been like, well, what are we honoring? What is it we're honoring?
Yeah.
If it's me, then I'm not going to sing my own honor song.
It's show offy. It just seems like
like when they do graduations, I was like, okay, they should sing a song while they walk in, or they should sing a song while they give out the roses or whatever.
Yeah.
Or they should, you know, it's just weird to me when you're just standing there singing a song and everyone's like staring at you and they don't know what they're supposed to do. And
yeah. Yeah, I wonder when did that sort of change? It's performance, right? It's performance. The honor song today, at least in those circumstances, is performance, because the song is not, I would question whether the song is even legit, like a legitimate. I mean, what is an honor song anyway? What is
I don't know. It's usually just a slow powwow song, right?
Yeah. You just pick the song who you're singing with, everybody knows, and sing it slow, solemnly.
Just sing with some solemn. So we're actually flipping the lid on a lot of things right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when you go to these conferences, and then they're like, can everyone please rise? we've asked Medicine Whale singers to be here. and the Intertribal Coalition for the Spirit of the White Buffalo. We've asked them to sing the honor song.
Oh yeah.
How about that one? The honor song.
Yeah, yeah. The honor song.
And it's at the conclusion of the honor song, we've asked community leader Shandon Pete to start us off in a good way.
Oh yeah, always in a good way.
With an invocation. I've never heard Native people, never heard Indians say invocation. I don't. And then all of a sudden, when we go to these things, it's like, It's an invocation.
I'm going to invocate before we eat.
Yeah, can we invocate? Like, I don't know why we do this. Why do we do this? Why do we, like, adopt these, like, weird... Man, dude, we're, like, calling some stuff out right here.
It is a call out. I mean, it has to be, right? We're in the age... Where's this is the era of the call out. It has to be. It's like a time of change.
Well, now, so we grew up in the honor song era, right?
We did, yeah.
And our childhood was really the invocation era. That's our childhood.
Oh, yeah.
So we hit
seeped deep in the ribbon shirt.
Ribbon shirt.
Shirt, not skirt. That wasn't a thing yet. No. Mm-mm.
So even ladies had ribbon shirts. How about the ribbon vest?
Oh God! Yeah. That was quickly replaced with the Pendleton vest. I don't know when, but yeah.
Thank God, right?
Thankfully. Yeah.
So, and they're always weird colors like yellow and red and black,
and
like orange, teal, like all, and they're like in the same color scheme. But so then now what young people what we saw the end of or what in our early midlife, I guess what we're seeing is now the land acknowledgement.
This is the era of the, yeah.
So then we went, so now when we go to meetings, we got to deal with all three.
Oh God.
Meetings, conferences. We got to deal with the invocation.
The honor song. Wait, let me write these down.
Okay.
Honor song, invocation. Land acknowledgement comes first. Is that right?
I would say the land acknowledgement comes first. Then you hit them with the honor song. And then you hit them. And by now, you're an hour and a half in to the opening ceremonies.
Yes. Oh, man. And what's the difference between the remark? Because there's remarks after the invocation. Opening remarks. Which is...
You're right. There's opening remarks.
There's opening remarks.
Okay. We're planning. We're planning a conference right now. We're planning
opening remarks.
We're planning the medicine. No, we're planning the Sacred Wheel Circle of Research conference.
Let's put hoop in there somewhere.
Oh no, the sacred hoop of holistic research international conference of First Nations. Oh, no, of TEK.
TEK, yeah.
So that's our conference.
Okay. Not First Nations, though. We got to go broader. Indigenous.
Indigenous, you're right. Indigenous, you're right. Good call. So what is it called?
So we got the whole day planned, actually, with the land acknowledgement, honor song, invocation, opening remarks. That's the whole day.
Oh, then now we're right back to praying for the food.
Oh, yeah, that's up to lunch.
We're up to lunch.
Pray for lunch.
For lunch, you got to find a Lakota. Like, that's the rules. You got to find a Lakota Sundance leader.
No matter where, what
no
part
matter
of the world
where,
you're in.
No matter, dude, remember when we went to Phoenix for that geoscience conference and UPIC stuff?
Oh yeah,
they were doing UPIC stuff.
Yeah,
in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I wonder how the local people feel about it. So then, okay, so then, in which our food being served is sandwiches with LaCroix drinks. So no Indians even want them. So, and those weird funky chips, like those real thick.
Yeah,
chips.
Yeah. Kettle chips or something.
These kettle chips, whatever they're called. So then that's what lunch is. And of course, at assigned seating, the tables are assigned. So.
All right. Okay. We got half the day planned.
Dude, that's lunch. And then plenary session.
The plenary. Oh, yeah.
The panel. The panel. Should we go panel?
We should do panel first.
Oh. Let's go panel.
And let's make sure that the panel is just everybody introducing themselves. And then we run out of time.
Well, that's a given.
That's the way a panel is. Isn't that the standard format? Yeah.
So the panel will be five people from very, very different parts of Indian country.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking on like...
Pressing
issues in Indian country from a native perspective.
Yeah. Some more specific, like a native grassland, grass seed.
No, dude, that's the plenary session.
Oh, that's the plenary. Okay, I got it backwards. Okay, yeah. Okay,
so the panel is just... pressing issues in Indian country from a native perspective.
Okay. Yeah.
In land management. And you got to make sure like it's like two people are involved in land management. The other person is an educator. And then you got the Indian lawyer. You got to have the Indian lawyer.
Yeah, you got to have one of them.
Then you have a random councilman, which typically they don't know what's going on. So,
you've been hitting some meetings, I can tell.
You've been hitting
some conferences.
You know these two, dude. Don't put this on me.
I don't know, man.
And then we have a 15-minute break, which... then would lead to the plenary session.
The plenary.
So, which
and
is...
the plenary. These are sessions, right? These are sessions.
No, that's day two. Sessions are day two. And we're going to start our sessions at 7:30 in the morning.
That's after the morning blessing, which started at 4.
No, the sunrise ceremony.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why do they start these so early? Who wants to go to a session at 8 a.m? Dude, go 9. There's a huge difference between 8 and 9.
Oh, man, yeah. A world of difference. A world.
A whole different errand. There's a whole different errand.
Let's get back to the song now. Let's get back to the honor song. Because we got to figure out who's going to sing the honor song.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So let's go back. Oh, I thought it was Medicine Wheel Singers.
Oh, yeah, we already had that. Yeah, we already got that.
It's figured. Medicine Wheel Singers.
Yeah. Okay, got that. Jotted down. We're supposed Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The invocation is a elder not from the area.
No, can be. No.
No, it's got to be someone that you flew in. Like you flew them in and they don't even know what the conference is about. No. They just came and they brought their wife. They're going to hit the outlets right after. They give
okay, you, keep going. You,
as part of their honorarium, you'll bestow the sacred Prince Albert tobacco. The Tops tobacco.
Yeah, it's always Tops. That's the blue one.
Which will quickly get discarded.
Well, you can't bring it on a plane, right?
No, you can. Can you? Yeah, you can. Yeah,
you can bring it on a plane.
No, the light blue one is Bugle.
Oh, that's Bugle. Yeah, that's the second choice. Bugle. Yeah,
second, because Tops comes with rolling papers.
Yeah, give the bugles to the singers. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. You'll pay the guy to come and pray. You'll pay him $500. You bought his plane ticket, got him a hotel room, and gave him 3 days per diem. The drum group, which there's 7 of them, you gave him some tobacco and you fed him lunch.
Yeah. Gave him 1 day registration. Watch the plenary.
to a session of your choice. I've been on all facets of these. I've been on the prayer side. I've been on the honor song side. Man. I've been the keynote. I've been the plenary. I've been the panel. Yeah. I've been the spectator.
All of it, man.
I've never done the registration table, though.
You gotta pitch in. You want to make some changes, man. Get on the committee.
What's the registration table for at these things?
Register? I don't know.
Like, what are you registering?
Print your badge, and give you the bag with the notebook and the water bottle. I think that's it.
And the pen that's in the water bottle.
Oh, yeah. Rattling around in there.
They put the pen and the paper, like the stationery. in the water bottle. And then what else? Oh, the four-sided highlighter thing, the square, the triangle, the three-sided one. It's pink, yellow, and orange. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I have one probably sitting out here somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the song though. That's good. I mean, we're trying to plan.
Yeah,
we're trying to plan a conference. Honestly,
the tribal research specialist.
Yeah.
We'll call it the non-conference conference.
Yeah, it's got to be. So, how would we change that? So, first of all, let's go back.
We're going to play this. We're going to play.
Let's go down the list.
What? Okay, land acknowledgement. Who's doing the land acknowledgement?
Well, no, I mean, if you would change it, how would you change it?
Just opening remarks.
Okay. No land acknowledgement. No honor song.
Are you going to do a land acknowledgement?
No, I'm not. I'm honestly asking you. And I agree.
I agree. I always feel like I'm not against land acknowledgements. What I'm against is reasoning for them and then how they're scripted.
Yeah.
So opening remarks should be somebody come up and say, hey, thanks for coming, everybody. Remember, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
And just before we get started, man, let's thank such and such tribe for doing their thing and helping us out.
Yeah.
And of course, we acknowledge that this is where we are. And
yeah.
And we're doing our best to respect everyone's beliefs, but because of where we are, if there's any protocols needed, we're going to default to these people because this is their Aboriginal land. Aside from that, it's going to be pretty basic. We're going to follow the agenda, whatever.
Get down to business.
If anyone drops a feather, we know what. But instead, let's plan a conference.
That's what we're doing right now. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. Dude, so I agree.
Should we plan a conference?
Yeah. We said we would back in episode, let's see.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, man. So this is the deal. We got a lot of, we got a lot of criticisms and gripes, you know?
Uh-huh. So but we ain't stepping up, man.
We ain't stepping up. No, we ain't sitting at the registration table trying to make changes. Now, we talked about this episode 41, Hang Around the Conference Indians, Reimagining a Modern Structure for Discussing Tribal Research. So the start, and I think that's right. You all come together because you want to do business. And maybe that's just like a man way of thinking. We need a female to balance it out. But I don't know. Would they say the same thing? If we want to get down to business, yeah. Just tell everybody that detail. We're here to do this. This is, we're here in this land to do it. Just like you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Follow those protocols. Was there anything
if there's protocols needed, this is who we're going to use as our advisors, is the tribe that we're closest to.
Yeah.
This is where we're staying. Well, whatever, you know?
Okay. Let me take a step back.
Okay,
Before you say that. Because some people, I'm trying to think of the argument. Some people would say, well, don't you always got to start the you know what I'm going to say, the meeting out in a good way? What about the prayer? Oh, don't Indians pray? How are you going to?
I got a solution.
Let's hear it.
This has actually got brought up at meetings, consultations I've been at.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Where I said, what's probably more important, more appropriate for consultation's sake, because consultation can actually be like confrontational.
Yeah.
I've always said, let's start like a ceremony would, where the announcer would remind everybody why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the announcer would say, this is being put on by this group, and this is why they wanted us to come here.
Yeah.
That's what an announcer would say at a ceremony, right?
Yeah.
And then we would do our business, and at the end we would say, or as they announced, they would say, before we send you home today, we're going to ask for good things for you. And we're going to ask that what you learned here today, take with you and share it with your people.
Yeah.
And then you would go about your business. And then at the end of the day, you would have somebody come in and make a wish.
Mm.
which we could call a prayer, but they would make a wish for all of us in attendance that this is why we came here today.
Yeah.
And we're going to send everybody home.
Yeah.
In a good way. I feel like that's a little more appropriate.
Yeah. It seems like, and I don't know, because I can reflect on that and see how that sort of mimics real life, you know, ceremonially speaking, mm-hmm. I suppose. But we don't see that at things that are more, I don't know if you could say they're contemporary, but so at like powwow, there's prayer before the powwow starts.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I've never known why.
Yeah, that what you said seems more natural. So at the end, you know, to send everybody off, that seems more natural.
But that announcement at the beginning is paramount because that's telling the camp, telling the group, this is why we're here.
Yeah,
these people brought us together for this reason. So this reason is what we're going to do today.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that.
When they have them tobacco ceremonies, they'll start. They get right to business. They say, Kamamuk, Kamamuk, we're going to begin. Everybody, we're going to begin.
Yeah.
That person will get their items ready.
Yeah.
The announcer will then say, well, actually, at those ceremonies, they start right away with the singing and stuff.
Yeah.
After so many songs, they stop. That's when the announcer gets up, brings the sponsor over, and says, this is why.
Yeah.
We're here today. This is why we're doing this.
Yeah.
This person asked us to come together for this reason. So that's the reason for us to be here.
Yeah.
So like, let's just say we put on a conference and let's generically native hydrology, right?
Okay. Sure.
That means when that announcer gets up on behalf of who's putting it on, and in this case, it would be us.
Yeah.
We would have our announcer say, this is what we want you to say. That person's going to say it. And he would say, this is why they brought us together. Everyone who's going to speak today is going to speak on issues related to native water.
Mm.
There's times for other topics elsewhere. But today, this is why they brought us here. They asked us to be here. So in that moment, that's mimics to me.
Yeah.
Ceremonialism.
Yeah.
When somebody asks you to conduct a sweat, this is a sweat we're going to have today for this reason. And it's okay to be specific about that reason. Sometimes I feel like we're told like it's too broad. Like we tell people like this is really broad. No, there's times they say, this young man wants a child.
Yeah.
You know, and people think that's weird. No, that's the way it is. This young man, he's married. They're trying to have a child. He wants a child.
Yeah.
So this is why he asked for this. So we're all of us in here collectively are going to ask for that for him.
Yeah. It's real specific. Yeah, it's real specific, or it has no reason at all. You're just there to
It's one. And then sometimes there's just as much power in the ritual of it.
Right.
I came here today and I built my fire. I put in the rocks. We got the sweat ready. The act of it itself is ritual, and there's something to it, right?
Yeah.
And in those times, it's just like, hey, we had a good week.
Yeah.
We're going to have a sweat.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that it continues.
Yeah.
So our conference should mimic something of that nature, that there's a domain. This is the domain we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going to, everyone in that meeting. So to me, it can still follow the format that everyone's used to. Sessions, speakers in the front, everything.
Sure.
But that initial like kickoff, like man.
The framing of it. The framing of it. Yeah.
That's badass, man.
It is. Well, it's like that. It's like what you hear often is, this has already been prepared for us. You hear that? That's kind of like what you're saying. Like when you go take a sweat, it's not just you show up and there's wood that's split there already, and you have nice rocks and the thing's already built and everything's, but there's a lot of work that went into that. Maybe years and years of preparing building up, getting things mm-hmm. ready, making things work just right, has already been prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And that's why it's important for those people coming. So when those people come to sit in that lodge and participate, it's also out of respect for what just happened. That person came 2 hours before, cleaned the sweat up, got the blankets ready, lit the fire, you know, got the fire ready, got it ready.
Yeah.
Brought the rocks in, prepared the water, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
That when those people came, it's also out of respect for that act. Yeah. They did this legwork. So now we're going to come so we can use the blessings of this lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Had they not do that, I would have been home sitting there, you know?
Right.
So, so it's the same thing. If we hold these topics dear, these topics of research, these topics of regulation, land management, geosciences, whatever it is, if we hold these topics dear and we want to give them the proper attention, maybe we should start conducting ourselves in an authentic way where instead of doing this like fake, let's have the flag song now, you know, like, and that you've asked that some people to come in this, and it's like, that's cool. And I get it. That's a sign of respect, but also for those who are participants in their belief, if you made that announcement, if you said, this is why we're here, this is what we're here to do, they would relate to that.
Yeah.
They would relate to that. You go to Fort Hall, you go to the Sundance, the same thing happens. That announcer reminds them. And in some cases, it's the same person running it. Reminds, this is why the lodge was built. These are the sponsors. This is why we're doing this year. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. You go to the medicine dance, you go to jump dance, you go to the seven or the bells, you know, that religious, that religion, you go to peyote, you go to anything and they announce.
Yeah. Sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Sets the tone. And like you said, oftentimes that is accompanied by singing, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But not just anything. Mm-mm. Not just any old song. It's something in particular. Some very
specific
for the moment. To gather, to call attention to, or to begin something in a way that's accustomed. So how do you bring that in, though? That does that seem to cross the boundary? Like to bring something ceremonial into something that's non...
How about this? How about this?
Okay.
How about this? We and this might only work if everybody involved is menfolk, but maybe not. Maybe you could kind of... Okay. Maybe the day before the conference starts.
Mm-hmm.
The people putting the conference on, in this case, us.
Yeah.
Maybe the people we've invited to guide us or whatever.
Yeah.
We go to that place where we're going to have the conference.
Yeah.
And we smoke.
The men folk.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a role for the women and all that. I don't know how we would work that out, but there's a way. But we would smoke. We would say, tomorrow, our thing's going to start.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we want to make sure everything's right. We want people to travel here safe. We want people to leave here safe. We want people when they speak that they're heard.
Yeah.
When they speak, it's done in a way that's appropriate.
Yeah.
So we're going to smoke about it, and we're going to smoke right here where it's going to happen. See, at some of these ceremonies that I know about, the day before, they'll smoke there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so maybe it can kind of mirror. And it's not for the public. It's not a showmanship thing. It's just those people planning this event. That's what they're going to do. And so maybe it'll set people in the right space. Like we say, this is why we're here. We're not here now. Once we start this conference, it's not about putting ourselves in the front. Our job now is to provide a venue in which these topics can grow. So that's it. That's what we're doing.
So you're saying we couldn't charge for the pre-conference event?
The pre-conference smoke?
The pre-conference smoke.
I mean, we could. No, I'm just kidding.
A premium, yeah.
Of course.
That's for the silver medallion sponsor.
That's for the white Buffalo members. There are four colors to the sacred Buffalo.
Yeah, if you're just in the sacred hoop category, you got to get up into that white Buffalo category get the pre-conference discount. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Discount.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You purchased the Turtle Island package.
No, I think you're onto something. But this is the thing that I'm somewhat concerned about, is that idea of crossing over. Well, I don't know, crossing over ceremonialism into this thing. But if it's not that thing that I think of as like a conference, you know?
Yeah, but...
Then it don't matter.
But think of this. In the old days,
yeah,
not even the old days, the 50s is still going on, even on your reservation.
Yeah, 70 years ago.
Somebody would come to your home. A family would come to your home and visit, right?
Yeah.
A meal was prepared.
Yeah.
Coffee was made. Mm-hmm. And it was common for men to sit and smoke together.
Yeah.
Let's smoke. We'll talk. Yeah. I came here to talk to you about something. Let's smoke about it. And they would do it. They would visit. They would tell. Sometimes it was a serious thing. Sometimes it was, I know a story. I'm going to tell it to you. I want to hear your version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Simply that, right? Yeah. Or my son here, he wants to start being a jockey. You used to be a good jockey. So we're going to smoke and I want you to talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, simple things. And it happened pretty natural, to the point where, like, if you brought that up to most people, they probably wouldn't even recognize it as something ceremonial.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, I remember when my uncle used to come over or whatever. But really, that's an act. So when people get together to speak about things, that's an act. Like Pretty Shield, my grandma's grandma said, words are holy. You know, be careful with them.
Yeah.
You know, so like we joke, but those conference things have the potential to be places where people really can be affected by what's being talked about. But instead, what it turns into is like, where's my swag bag? And when are you going to let me out so I can go check out the mall? You know? And that's cool too. Like I kind of feel like that's part of it too.
Yeah.
That's still a part of it. You gotta allow for people to do that. Some people don't get vacations. Some people don't get days off of work like in the traditional sense of getting time off. Like I know my job, Tipple, it's like it never really ends.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I go on a trip, I might have an afternoon to go do something fun that I normally won't get to do.
Yeah.
And so
experience the area.
That's part of it.
Even if it's a mall. Yeah.
I think we could call it a conference, but really it might be something else. It might not be. Yeah. Maybe it might be identifying. So like, let's go back to our water idea.
Yeah.
Maybe now collectively you and I will identify people that we want to hear what they have to say about water and we'll invite them. And then maybe this get together is just for a select few. I don't know. I don't know how it would look, you know, but it's possible to say that you could do something like that. You can. I think there's some there in you might just call it, you don't want to call it a talking circle.
But that's familiar. Everybody knows it.
Yeah. That's
I don't know. We don't want to do that. That's not too out of the ordinary to invite people. That's essentially what these conferences do, right? The people put proposals in to say, this is what I want to talk about. And a committee looks at those and say, yeah, this fits, this doesn't fit.
But and I then, think we would, but we wouldn't do like a call for papers. Or
no.
Call for posts. No. What we would say is like, I think for us, because we do have a bias in research, you and I, like we have a certain way we want to do.
Yeah.
Talk about Native people.
Yeah.
So we would have to identify those people that reflect our mission.
Yeah.
And I know people are going to say, well, that's bias and all that. Well, don't come. Yeah. This isn't mandatory for you, you know?
Yeah.
If you like our brand of topic and you like our brand and our approach to how we do things,
yeah,
then this might be the thing for you. And that's not in a confrontational way. That's just in a not everybody thinks the way we do, and that's all right.
Right.
I just like to make fun of them.
I think we got something here, man. I'm into
maybe
it. Okay.
Here's a topic that I wanna I don't know about.
Yeah.
And it's popular, but I wanna flesh it out.
Yeah.
I wanna beat it to death in a weekend. And honestly, and it's like it's got its level of cheese, but is there some validity to it? Who are the experts at it?
Yeah.
And that's cultural burning.
Yeah,
I hear people talk about it. I hear it kind of being a thing. You and I even kind of got roped into doing like this training thing, which I got double booked and couldn't go to it.
You guys all abandoned me. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I feel a little burned by that.
But yeah.
Did you catch that? Yeah.
That was good. So no, let's just say our pretend conference is that purely for that. Like, I don't know about it. I don't know about it. I know nothing of it. I can kind of figure some things out, navigate through, but who are the experts? And then really figure it out for myself. Like, really say, hey, okay. Yeah. And then maybe at the end of the conference, I say, this theory don't hold water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I come back and say, you know what? I was wrong. I was thinking of this thing wrong.
Yeah.
There's several topics like that where just because they're trendy,
yeah,
doesn't mean they're wrong. And I've noticed that's my approach lately. Like, I'm kind of like cynical, which that's never going to go away. Right. That's not.
No.
But I'm also open to hearing people out and saying, okay,
Yeah.
The medicine or the what is it? The medicine hoop thing?
The medicine hoop. The medicine wheel.
Medicine wheel. I make fun of it all the time. But I admit I haven't made a whole lot of time to understand it either. Even though it comes from a non-native person, but maybe their intentions really were to try to create something for native people to grasp. And I make fun of it. But,
Maybe
I don't know, but like Maslow, right? Maslow kind of got his pyramid of whatever he calls it.
Hierarchy of needs.
He kind of stole the idea from the Blackfoot painted teepee, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to understand things like that, you know?
Yeah. Go deeper
into things. Like try to like, I'm going to make fun of them.
Yeah.
And I hope people who listen to us know, like, I'm going to continue to make fun of things, but that doesn't mean I'm not open to understanding them.
Yeah.
I make fun of myself all the time. So.
Well, you know what I like to see in this hypothetical conference that or whatever it is that we're thinking of is argument, disagreement. It has to happen, man. We're so afraid. Even if I go to a conference and I disagree with whatever's being said in this conference, I don't want to say nothing because I feel like I'll hurt somebody's feelings or destroy their ego to where they give up. Even if I said it in a tactful, persuasive way, there might be some sort of repercussion. So we get timid and we're afraid because of the response, and maybe even the manner in which we challenge ideas is not, we don't quite have that yet. But I don't know how to bring that in, that debate, you know, the true native debate of things.
So I brought this up at a consultation this summer in Wheatland, Wyoming. We were with the energy company where I said right in there, and actually caused kind of a firestorm of issues for me, and I won't get into details there, but I said right away, I said, if you are uncomfortable with being in awkward situations and saying things that people need to hear, then this isn't the job for you.
Yeah.
And my statement was taken as divisive. I wasn't trying to be unified. And so here's my counter to that when I was told, and I'm sure if you brought topics up like this, it would be the same thing. Well, we want to unify. We're trying to unify people. We want to bridge the divide, all that. Here's my thing. I don't.
What is the thing we always hear? We're 500 unique tribal nations.
Yeah,
we're unique.
Yeah,
we have different thoughts and ideas.
Yeah, let us be unique. Yeah. And so I'm not against anybody. I'm just for who I am. I'm a Crow Indian, and why do we got to take second place? And so when you say that, people take that as like, well, you're not for me. Of course I'm for you. I'm never going to be a roadblock to you. I'm never going to be a roundabout for you. I'm going to get out of your way and let you do what you got to do. And I'm going to support you. But at the same time, I got to worry about my stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, research is the same thing. So when you take a topic or you take a method of research, it can't grow unless you criticize it. And people take that as you saying it's worthless. I'm not saying it's worthless. I'm saying it had to be there.
Yeah.
It has to be there. And to assume that traditional ecological knowledge is a polished thing, or to say that indigenous research method is a polished thing right now, that's just naive.
It is.
And so until we can get in a place where people can criticize not only their own forms of research, but question others and say, hey, like, I'm not doing this because I hate you. I'm not doing this because I want to see you fail. But I really am questioning your method because of A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn to talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people don't want to do that because they're so afraid. They're so afraid to make people uncomfortable, but they're also afraid of biting the hand that feeds them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's real, man. I've seen it with Native people where it's like, we got a thing going. We're not going to mess with it. I'm not saying mess with the thing. I'm saying we can tweak the thing. We can make the thing work for us.
Yeah. Yeah. We need it, man. And
we need it.
And I don't know how. And maybe it's this. This sort of intro to this idea we're forming that sort of sets the guidelines for that, you know, that you have to go in knowing that some ideas might get challenged, or I don't know, even like all this pre-work that ought to happen to say, you know, that like you said, you're going to get uncomfortable. But I don't know.
You got to get uncomfortable, man.
I just don't know.
Like, for the first, like, say, for the first get together we have, man, maybe it just needs to be like indigenous research method. This is what they say it is right now.
Yeah. Methodology. Yes.
This methodology, this is what it is right now.
Yeah.
But let's take it apart like a carburetor and put it back together and see if it holds up. And I'm telling you right now, it's not gonna. I know for these reasons. But we can't get to the good thing until this happens, because this had to happen. The cheese had to happen. The comfortable stuff had to happen.
Yeah.
I think indigenous research method is like the seat at the table. We fought for the seat at the table. Well, the seat at the table is now. We've had it for a little while now. So now it's. Let's get in the driver's seat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we did the thing. We made it palatable. We made it whatever. Let's get after it, man.
Yeah.
I'm talking a lot. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you got a lot to say. Yeah. This is what makes me okay. So the issue is this. It depends on the audience, right? The audience that would engage in this sort of conference idea is going to be a wide range of people. And today, this era that we're in, you know, this idea of identity is, I don't know, people are so sensitive about it. But it seems pretty straightforward to me when I look at it.
That's how I look at it too.
But one of the issues is it seems, and I might be off on this, and this is where I think this sort of conference would, or idea of meeting would be helpful. This is what I see, is that the narrative of what indigenous research methodologies is largely driven by, and we've talked about this before, the non-practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stereotype, romanticism, things that aren't quite practical, that maybe not reflective of modern tribal process. And I think if that's challenged, people get a bit sensitive, especially those who are maybe reconnecting with their identity. And this is the pathway they've chose to reconnect, is through research, through employing a research methodology that appears to be guided by an indigenous approach. Yeah, that's going to be hurtful, man, to them. And but why should I care? Yeah, why should I care? It has to be said.
But it'd also be hurtful to me. It right. might be me. Yeah. What if I do this whole thing and then it's like, you know what? I'm the one that's wrong. What if you comes out like, no, Shandeen, like, no, you started out off. Maybe they're right on this, but you're wrong on this. And I think that's what people need to do. We need it.
Yeah.
We can use it. We can get researchers to say, our land managers, our people who implore a method with Native people, we can say, use this as a springboard to challenge your way of thinking to make it better.
Yeah.
So we can say, whatever your topic is, whether it's cultural burning, whether it's Native hydrology, or, you know, like indigenous approaches to fill in the blank. And then when you come to find out, it's like, well, what am I doing? And is there a time for it not to be indigenous?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's important one.
Chemistry's chemistry, dude. Like, and maybe maybe it's okay not to put a feather on it this time.
Indigenous approaches to shoe tying. Like,
oh, dude.
Come on, like, man. This is tying a shoe.
Like, we want your perspective. And it's like, we don't. All I do know if we do something like this, I don't. It's no living in two worlds shit.
Yeah.
No.
One world.
It's one world, man. This is the world we got to deal with.
One world order.
Yeah. And and also, man, here's a thing that's... Yeah. This is a hard-nosed episode, man.
Yeah. We're getting it all out. It's therapeutic.
I feel... It is, man. It feels good. So, like, I feel us as Native people need to right the ship again. We need to, like, go back to ground zero. And in research, our in-field sciences, you have a datum.
Yeah.
And that everything drawn from that datum.
Yeah.
And maybe for us in the world of research, our people who are on the fringes, the satellite people, we have to be reminded every once in a while what that datum is.
Yeah.
The difference is now we're going on 3 to 4 generations now of Native researchers.
Yeah.
So it's at this point where we got to say it's us who has to self-govern.
Yeah.
The researchers. Yeah. Because now when we reach back to the datum, which is our culture, our languages, our ceremonial life, for some people, it's not there and it's not as accessible anymore. So now it's up to the researchers to self-govern.
Yeah.
But that also means people got to hear stuff that they don't want to hear. Because if we're really trying to affect and infect Indian country in a way where this research benefits tribal people, because right now it doesn't seem like it benefits tribal people. We have to remind them. And I'm not, that sounded really self-righteous just now, but it's not up to me to remind them. But I think we have the machismo.
Okay.
To go forward with it. I think people, here's a controversial thought. I don't think that we're the first people to think of something like this.
No, I don't think so.
But we might be the first people that are willing to do it.
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Maybe. Because I might have talked myself out of this whole thing.
It sounds like a lot of work. There's like-minded people out there. There is.
There is.
Like I said, there is. and that are and there's also people that are not like-minded but are willing to listen and willing to try and give things a chance. I don't give people enough credit in that regard. It's kind of presumptive of me to think, oh, people will get their feelings hurt. Who am I to say that they will? Maybe they won't.
Maybe they won't.
Oh, you know what I mean?
In fact, maybe we won't even tell them anything they don't already know.
Right.
And then we're like, but there's still a benefit to that. Because the benefit is that we got to hang out with like-minded people, which is always badass.
Yeah, and validate some things.
So do you remember when we used to do those visiting scholar things where an individual would come and present to us as the Indigenous Research Center, but we would have the students would get to watch, right?
Yeah.
And then that person would sit down at this table and we would talk about their research.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's all it is. This conference is just saying people will volunteer their topics.
Yeah. I like that. I like that setup that we did like that.
It was cool, huh?
Seemed to make sense. Yeah. Share some things. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, yeah. And we were able to sort of challenge lightly the things that we were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, man.
So maybe that's all it is. It's like, hey, because we don't want to, obviously, I don't know anything about chemistry. I don't know anything about string theory. So like we would have to invite certain topics, right?
Yeah.
That we feel comfortable talking about, but it would be us along with other people.
Yeah.
We would just people would volunteer their topic, their research topic, to present in front of us with an audience. And by them volunteering, they're telling us they're open to hear our suggestions and our criticisms.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want that, they don't have to volunteer, and they just not even there. But we invite people to come and participate as audience members and as witness. And you even said that. You said that at one of those things. Your job is to act as a witness.
Yeah.
And so, which is important. Vital. That's also vital very role. Native. Very
vital role.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
We're gonna do it.
We're gonna do it now. So I think we come up with it.
I see the start of it. It's like the thing we did. That's the start of it. Maybe a one day, maybe half day. Start small. Test it out. See if we can get people to argue and what are you thinking of?
What resolve?
What?
And then maybe we keep it regional. Because like we don't want to get too out of Spokane.
Yeah.
Let's do it in Spokane where you're close enough to the plateau folks, you're close enough to the coastal folks, you're close enough to the plains folks. Or do it like in
Bozeman.
Bozeman's spendy, man. It's like super spendy.
Okay. Not Bozeman.
But
Warlin.
It would go over well there.
It would. Oh yeah.
We piggyback off of the School of Anthropology, the American Studies program.
Yeah.
It could happen. But we could also do it in Pocatello, Idaho, man.
Yeah. 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 Here's the pitch then.
Okay.
We need some dough. We need some cash.
Well, we started GoFundMe.
Naturally.
Man, we would need we would need how about your institution? Would they flip some money over?
Yeah, maybe. It's a novel idea. And I could see some funding. Of course it'd have to occur across the border, I think would be the only thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Calgary. We're doing it in Calgary, Lethbridge. We could do it in I don't know if I want to go to Vancouver, but that's where you're at, right?
That's where I'm at.
No, you're in Victoria.
No, Vancouver.
Okay, it could happen in Vancouver. Yeah. I was thinking of Victoria. But I feel like if you put it in a place where everyone wants to go. It also seems like it invites people who don't really want to be there.
Yeah.
You put it in Winnemucca, Nevada. You're going to get people that show up. That means they want to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you do it in Vancouver and in Seattle. Those are beautiful towns that people want to go to, like, especially in the late spring or something, yeah, or early fall. Like, God dang, man.
Or Las Vegas during INFR.
Oh, yeah. Do it during INFR.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just going to get a whole bunch of people, which that's fine, too. But we got to be cognizant of the purpose, right? And the kinds of people we want to attract.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to attract people who are open to that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, we're going to get those who are just chilling, but maybe it's like Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good place, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep this thought open.
We're not.
But I think we're going to get some comments about ideas. I'd like to hear a critique of some listeners just to throw us an email and say, hey,
wish our listeners would jab us a little bit, man. Like, I didn't agree with you when you said this. I expected a little more backlash from the smoke signals comment.
You know? Well, people love that episode, man. I'm hearing a lot of folks saying that was our best episode.
I don't know. It's hard to beat Dog's Land, man.
I know. Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, send us some comments. I did get a few comments about some episodes saying that the caution of mixing what method and methodology is. Not to get confused.
There is a difference. They're right. Whoever said that, there is a difference between method and methodology. I used to always say this, and maybe whoever's listening who said that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I used to always say how it starts is a philosophy. A philosophy leads to a theory. A theory leads to a method. And a method leads to a methodology.
There you go.
Methodology leads to a method.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The methodology is what guides you to the appropriate method.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, I said those backwards, but yeah, that's what I meant to say. But I, when we had the research center, I used to say that, I don't know if you remember this, I would say IRM to me is still just a philosophy. It's a research philosophy.
Yeah. I agree. And I've been sort of through the past couple years, 5 years, I've been jotting down some characteristics I think that are definitive of that research philosophy, I think. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that one of these episodes, but for now, shoot us an email, let us know your thoughts and ideas about this emerging idea. That'd be cool, man. And correct us too. I want to hear that. Mm-hmm. I want to hear that too. And if you know of any private donors, any wealthy, what do you call them? What do you call them? The
sugar daddies?
You know any wealthy sugar daddies? Well, by nature, they're wealthy. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
We started talking about songs. I got all mixed up in what I was trying to say. And then
I like it when we don't have a topic, man.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about nothing specific. So
sometimes there's a need for it, but I think part of what this podcast does for me, it's like therapeutic, man.
Yeah, yeah. Get some ideas out. Well, and we didn't mention some of the current stuff that's going on right now here in Canada and America. The devastating news. We didn't mention one bit of it. We don't want to.
What?
Where are you? You don't know?
Dude, I don't have Facebook and I don't watch the news.
Yeah. You know, the whole Buffy.
Matthew Perry?
Buffy St. Marie deal. No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's awesome, man.
Now we can't.
You live in a rock. No, you go Google some things and next episode we'll talk about it.
Oh, dude, I don't want to talk about Buffy St. Marie.
I don't either.
She's not native.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, she was outed as a pretendian.
Oh, dude, if we're going to start that, then...
Yeah.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
We don't whatever, wanna. Dude. I don't you know wanna. How many pretendians there are?
This is dude, nothing leave new.
Folk singer alone, dude. That's funny because I didn't know. I just said it. I'm going to say it right here. It doesn't bother me one bit that Buffy St. Marie is not a native because, for one, I doubt she's making calls with tribal people. I doubt she's sitting in ceremonies and holding rites. I'm more worried about these scholars, these guys who claim to be something and they're not. And they want to run Native Studies departments. They want to run like Indigenous Philosophy departments. They want to publish on behalf of this.
Writing books.
And it's like, I don't care if you're non-native and you do native research and you do work with native people. Just tell me that. I'm okay with it. I don't need you to be something you're not. I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. Yeah. I'm a smart-ass Crow Indian kid that hung out with the Flatheads for a lot of times. I listen to punk rock and reggae and I love round dance music. You know, and I talk shit. That's what I do.
Yeah. That's a big issue. We haven't really addressed it too much. Anyway, look on your, Google some things. Get it figured out.
Whenever I am away from you, I always get those lovesick blues. Dude.
Wasn't it she sang that song with Edmund Bull, remember? Back to Canada. I don't know. I don't want to talk about
darling, it. Darling, don't cry.
Yeah.
And she would hit her guitar, remember?
Anyway, let's wrap this.
Who? You don't have to. Yeah. The whole Buffy part you could take out.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's dumb, dude.
It's dumb. 60 years later, find out what everybody suspected is she's a fake Dan pretendian.
Dude, let's out native gospel singers, dude. Come on, man. Let's do that, dude. Let's get the native Pentecostal singer a scene a run for its money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.